Hello and welcome to the Stories of Generation Growth, a new series from Changemakers featuring high growth firms from the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Businesses alumni. I'm Michael Heyman, and throughout this series, I'll be joined by my guest, Charlotte Keenan, the program's head. Together, we will speak with business leaders who could well be at the heart of a new generation of growth for the UK. But what is Generation Growth? Well, it's an idea driven by the Small Business Manifesto, a call to action which shares insights and policy ideas on how we can release the potential of high growth companies to thrive. We'll be discussing the key recommendations of that manifesto and how we make them real. We're speaking with Nainish Carrier, co-founder and operations director of Food Attraction, looking at his vision to bring the vibrancy of home cooking to international markets. Nain, Charlotte, welcome to Changemakers. Nain, you've given me a very difficult start to this to this interview, because you're the co-founder of Food Attraction Limited, and which is the creator of the Jake and Nain's brand. I'm supposed to be fasting today. I'm here looking at this absolutely fabulous chicken tikka filled naan. It's all part of the Banging Food proposition. Tell us a little bit about the business and the market you're seeking to serve.
Well, I mean, as a business, thank you so much for this invitation. I've been really looking forward to doing this. I mean, as a business, we've always predominantly made like finger foods, those kind of items, and then we evolved into making curries. Mm-hmm. And then over like the last 10 years, we've evolved into making handheld snacks, and we'd got some products listed with the retailers. And then, you know, we had a consultant that helped us develop the brand Jake and Nain's, because we really wanted to explode the market and take advantage of the fact that people are eating more on the go.
Yeah.
And that's where the Jake and Nain's came, because we didn't want it to be pinpointed to any kind of food. So we've got lots of plans of different types of products, but it was the hot, the food on the go. That's where the business is involved.
Right. So let's go back a step. It's a family business.
Yeah.
One half brother, one half you, and also other family members involved.
Yes.
Sister involved, other members of the family.
Yeah, so if you look at the brand, we've got Jake and Nain's, a little apostrophe at the end. So we laugh that my Jake's wife is the and that holds the two of us together, because mm-hmm. We do clash with each other, but it's more of in a progressive kind of way, you mm-hmm. know, moving the business forward. It's always talking about, you know, we have certain challenges, and it's great that we can both have different experiences, but we always look at where we can take the business forward, especially with current difficult times as well. We laugh that Niantic is the and that holds us together, and the little apostrophe is my sister joined the business a few years ago, and she's...
she's growing the brand.
Yeah, she's...
And so what was the genesis for the brand? You sat down together one day and decided to do it, but what's the story?
Well, what happened with the Jake and Nain's brand is we always wanted to create something that was ours to take forward. Mm-hmm. We were making products for a lot of different franchise companies, restaurant chains, and Food Attraction didn't have an identity. You wouldn't have known that you were eating a Food Attraction product. You know, even some of the retailers are going into making products for them, but we never did anything for ourselves. I created this product called the Nanster probably about 10, 12 years ago. And we launched it as a Nanster brand. And then, you know, we wanted to evolve that, but we couldn't use the Nanster brand. So it was like, what do we do? Do we change the branding? And that's where Jake and Nain's was born, because we wanted to create a range of burritos. And it was interesting how that happened, because it was the Olympics that spurred us into doing something next.
Why was that?
Because we managed to win a massive contract with making other handheld snacks, which served the athletes' village. Mm. And looking at which ones were actually really popular, we were like, wow, okay, there's obviously a huge market. And that kind of got us thinking about how we're going to evolve, which products we want to go for. So we wanted to launch a range of burritos. So we've got some filled burritos. We've done some breakfast burritos now. I'm going to make everyone hungry here.
Yeah, I was
going
to say. Yeah. I am talking to you after 16 hours of fasting. So I'm right. Sort of feeling like I'm going to have to eat live on air. But I'll save our listeners from that. But I mean, I'm just interested in the dynamics of a family business here, actually, in terms of, you know, this is a fast growth firm, founded it in 2013. Presumably, there were lots of dynamics at play in terms of expectation from different family members about what they wanted from the business. Talk to us a bit about how you found common purpose and alignment in terms of building something where the startup team you're actually related to.
I think we've kind of evolved into our best roles. And, you know, Jake's great as MD. He looks after a lot of the retail customers and sales side of it and handling the direction there. For me, I've always loved infrastructure and making sure that the factory can deliver, because it's, you know, having that product out there going out at its top quality is the best I can do. It's, you know, making the business more efficient, especially in recent years. It's been very tricky to try and get that done with the recent wage increase as well. It's become even more trickier, you know, trying to get that investment within the business to take it further. But I've always loved that kind of role. Nianti, Jake's wife, she looks after the finance side of it and HR. And then my sister, she looks after health and safety and also crosses over into HR as well. So it's great because we know that we can rely that those areas are completely looked after.
I mean, I love the phrase, found our roles.
Yeah.
Actually, it must be quite interesting, actually, when you start with a blank sheet of paper, where presumably, you know, you could go down a lot of different avenues that you somehow find the harmony, the balance, the rhythm. How do you manage the other side of that in terms of keeping alignment when you have a difference in opinion?
Obviously, we've had our few moments where we've clashed.
You referred to that earlier on.
Yeah, we've clashed, but it's never been in an angry way. It's always been we've got a big problem.
Yeah.
This is how we can solve it. You know, we'll have a difference of opinion, but you know, we do actually, as much as we might clash, we do listen to each other, and you know, the business is where it is because we've all worked really well together. The three of us make a huge difference, and we bounce off each other as well. You know, just very recently, Jake's, we've put a new MD in place to help us kind of become a lot more strategic, to help. So he's taking over the day-to-day running of stuff, so we're not getting, you know, bogged down with some of that
stuff.
It's an
interesting dynamic, right?
It is, yeah.
In a family of four, and then you're coming in as the outsider as the MD.
Yeah, so Simon's been working with us for a couple of years, and he's kind of, again, like, evolved into a role, and we just thought, you know, it'd be really good for that day-to-day stuff to be taken on so that we can then strategically move forward. You know, Jake's doing a great thing. He's still running it as CEO, I guess, but he's looking at the new avenues. We're looking into new sectors. The hot food to go market is really exploding, and we're at the forefront of, you know, the range that we have is just great. We've just launched into the retailers with our micro stations, and we've gone into hospitals and universities. And it's really
you mentioned two words there that sometimes don't sit that easily together, like evolution and strategy. You know, actually, you've evolved as a business, but you've clearly also got a game plan that you're working on and delivering against. At what point do you think that kind of, I suppose, that sort of learning as you go, iterative sort of journey, started to change into actually, we need a game plan for growth. We need to actually start to move to another level and presumably find things like 10,000 small businesses, right?
I mean, to be honest with you, there's quite a few answers to those questions, but I mean, the 10K businesses has been a phenomenal thing for me. It's inspirational, and meeting those people who are on that same similar journey, but in different ways is great. But as for us, we have to pivot. You know, you've got to keep changing and evolving. You can't keep doing the same thing over and over again. It will soon die out. And we were looking at the chilled market, and as a sector, especially in the last year and a half, 2 years with the war that's gone on, coming out of COVID, you know, we saw our sales declining on our retail side of things. And I think
was that linked to cost of living and people?
Yeah, I think it's, and people's buying habits have changed, and their baskets have changed as well. You know, they're not necessarily going for certain items anymore. Sandwich sales, we looked at, were dropping. Not that we make sandwiches, but people were then making their own sandwiches. But what we also found was that people were prepared to still buy, you know, your £5 sandwich from M&S because it was a treat. And we wanted to do something. We saw the hot food to go market really, you know, increasing in popularity. And I think travel
What's driving it? What's driving that?
I think that I think travel is now back to pre-COVID levels in terms of people on the road. And I think what's happening now and what we're seeing is, you know, if you look at someone stopping at McDonald's or Subway or something, they're paying £8-9 for a meal. And I think they're thinking, no, I don't need to spend that. I'll spend a little bit less. And the hot food to go sandwiches that we're doing and that kind of product, it's a nice product on the go.
But I think that has brought an interesting question up, actually, about pivots, Charlotte, in terms of actually when businesses need to actually read the signals that it's time to change. I mean, does the program, you know, help you spot the signals, spot the opportunities in that respect, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and particularly thinking of during the pandemic when we put on an adjacent program called Reimagining Your Business. And I think the stats were 70% of our businesses pivoted, changed in order to adjust. But it, you know, we're always teaching our small businesses to keep a very, very, you know, to understand the competitive market, to keep a close eye on trends, to know what's coming down the line so that you can be reactive, response, and lean into those opportunities. And as we know, right, difficult times are often moments of opportunity. But I want to go back to the difficult time piece. If it was, you know, food, right, supply chains, inflation, just touched on the cost of living. But how have you managed the business through, you know, fundamentally very difficult 3-4 years in your sector?
I think I mentioned it at when we did the panel in Birmingham. It's been like a perfect storm of so many things that have happened, you know, whether it's coming out of COVID, the supply chain taking its time to kind of catch up with supply. The war, obviously, you know, at that point, no one realised that Ukraine actually supplied so much wheat, tomatoes and oil. And, you know, those three items alone, the prices shot up. And, you know, we've had to just become more efficient, much lighter on our feet, trying to adapt to, you know, price increases coming through. As a business, we've ended up absorbing some of that. Trying to put price increases through to the customers has been very, very difficult.
What have you learned about yourself as a leader in tough times?
Survival, I think it is. I think you can push yourself further without realising. And, you know,
dig deep.
Dig deep, yeah. Mm. And I think, you know, if we've found that idea and, you know, we pivoted, I think one of the things that's always stuck in my mind was when we did the Unicorn School last year, and so I can't remember his name, but from HomeServe.
Richard Harpin,
and he talked about pivoting and, you know, just sometimes just making that little tweak on what's already working can be the game changer. Mm-hmm. And we've always looked at how we can try and...
Right. Is this also where family comes in? The fact that actually you have got a circle of trust that is actually quite important. It's actually how you weather the highs and lows of any business journey.
Oh, God, yeah. We're always propping each other up, you know, in tough times and good times. It's, you know, we're all foodies as well. So that always helps. You know, we're always going out to eat at different places. We do a Friday lunch where everyone gets to choose which street food place they like. And then we'll get takeaway in from there.
Brilliant.
And we'll all sit down on a Friday afternoon between 1 and 2. And
that's great.
And, you know, recently we've been going back to the same place because they like it so much. But that's one of the things that we like doing. And it's just bringing everyone together. And everyone within the team have bought in. You know, they've become part of the culture.
Because I was going to ask, how do you franchise the magic in terms of growing the team? I mean, does it feel like an extended family?
Oh, God, yeah.
Right. I mean, because that was my suspicion, is that probably there'd be a very strong feel of culture and of... I guess, attitude across the business. Have you built that? Has it been organic trial and error, or do you think you've had a culture that you've been able to define and work with?
I think it's a bit of all of those where, you know, it's been trial and error. I think very quickly, you know, you can see whether someone's going to fit into that culture or not. You know, we have high expectations of someone's ability. But, you know, we want the business to go move forward. And, you know, the team that we've got right now is a brilliant team. They're helping us with the staff that we have, you know, how we've changed. It's a tough time right now through the cost of living crisis as well. You know, people's habits have changed. Costs have gone up again with the wage increase. And we've seen it in some of parts of our business where the sales have dropped, but then other parts have increased as well. So it's kind of always just keep trying to keep ahead of, you know, of what's changing out there in the market.
I mean, one of the things we want to talk about in these interviews is the Generation Growth Small Business Manifesto. And part of that, I suppose, deals with how good a place is Britain to grow a business. It sounds to me like you may have a view about that in terms of your own experience with a journey that has had highs and lows and other places in between.
I think for us domestically, we're obviously focusing a lot more on that because post-Brexit, it's made it so difficult to export food. It was a real shame because I had companies in Denmark, Finland, Switzerland that all wanted to take on the products under the Jake and Nane's brand. But just to get samples and products out there was proving to be so difficult. So, you know, we've ended up, and the only thing you could get over there was vegan product, which the sector and market's not big enough to justify, you know, truckloads going over. So we ended up obviously focusing on the domestic market. I think the UK is an amazing place, but I don't think the government's helping us enough to kind of get out there. Since Brexit's happened, prior to that, there was so much funding available to get businesses to go over to different countries as an initiative. That was always very helpful. It was marrying up companies together. What you guys are doing is incredible, but that gap there of taking it over. For us, the overseas market could be just as big, if not bigger, than what we have in the UK. Mm-hmm. But it's just not happening.
Does the UK brand work for you?
Yes.
In what way?
It's established itself in... Are you talking about the Jake and Nane's brand itself?
I'm just thinking being a British food company, dynamic food company with export ambitions.
Sure.
How does that actually play out in terms of the marketing strategy, or does it not matter?
No, God, it definitely matters. I think, you know, as a Hindu Indian company, you know, we have some of the best food manufacturers in the world, I think. Mm. And we just don't shout enough about it. You know, we don't take that food out there. You know, you've got a lot of countries like China, Japan, all those places, even India would want to see British brands. But we just don't sell stuff out there, not the food items anyway.
Who'd have thought it, Charlotte? I mean, 20 years ago, the idea that actually we'd be talking about British food as a global export.
Oh,
but I mean,
no,
it's real, right? Nane's a great example of it.
I mean, it's a great example of brand Britain, right? But you're absolutely right. You know, we need to lean into that. We need to sell that. We need to advocate for that.
I mean, when you think about the business going forward, I mean, I'm quite interested that, you know, you've got a Leicester-based business and you've grown national and international business. You've proven that scaling up can happen anywhere in any sector. In terms of where you see the business going next, in terms of your own journey and the lessons you'd share, what would you contribute?
I mean, for us, the business has got a lot of potential for growth. And the great thing that, biggest thing advantage that we have is that the three of us are aligned in what we want to do going forward. And I think that's got to be your, you know, when you do have partners within the business, that's got to be your key strategy, because if you're not aligned, then everyone else will also feel that disparity between us. So we're all aligned in where we want to take the business.
And what does that look like?
Oh, sitting on a beach 5 years from now, having a cocktail.
Having a Jake and Nane's.
Jake and Nane's cocktail. Watching it from CCTV. No, it's we want to grow the business. We, you know, it's my children have, you know, started to get to the age where they're getting interested in it and their eyes have lit up.
Do you want them to go and work in the business?
I've said this to them. I said, I want you to come in, but only if you contribute something to it. You have to bring something to it, because I don't want you just working in the factory or in the office. You bring something to it. So my younger one's artistic and creative. But I said, look, you're only 14. So just come and just enjoy the business. Come and learn something. Enjoy that first.
Yeah. It's really interesting because, you know, sometimes when we think about family businesses, we think about them as, you know, from hundreds of years ago. But what's great is a really contemporary story about building a family business now with an idea that actually this might be born of the family, stay in the family, and also be a high-growth business as part of that.
Yeah, my mum's so proud because, to be honest with you, we still make the same onion bhajis and samosas that my mum created, you know, 25 years ago.
Was that part of the inspiration for you and your brother?
That's where it kind of all started. It's where the revolution or evolution started, I guess. But, you know, my mum still... will take samosas from us and our bhajis and serve them to guests at home. So I know we're doing something right.
She needs to be on the packaging as well now.
No, thank you very much for sharing your story. It's left us all starving, but it's been great to have you on Changemakers.
Oh, thank you so much for the opportunity, Michael and Charlotte. Thank you so much.
You.